We've been in, and will continue to be, in Matthew 25, chapter 25, for a little while. And a little while means through next Sunday. We talked about Matthew 25 last Sunday, and we're going to continue with the second story that Jesus tells in Matthew 25 today. And next week, we're going to talk about the third story that Jesus tells in Matthew 25. The significance of this is that this is the last teaching Jesus gets to present to his disciples. This is not the private time with just the 12. This is his time to teach. It's the 12 that ask the question, but as far as we can tell, Jesus is still in public, in a public place when he's teaching this. Jesus, in the beginning of Matthew 24, remember we looked at this last week, Jesus at the beginning of Matthew 24, after he says this temple, not one stone will remain on another in this temple, his disciples say, when will this happen? What will be the signs of this to happen? And then he gives the teaching in Matthew 24. He continues into Matthew 25, and in there he transitions from talking about the judgment that's coming on Israel and the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem into the final judgment. And like Jesus will, when he answers questions, he doesn't just answer the question, he goes way beyond the question. Last week we talked about the parable of the 10 virgins, and the message was, be ready. It's so sobering to see those images and to realize the power of that earthquake and the devastation of those tsunami waves on the people of Japan. But after the earthquake hit, there was no time to get ready. There's no time to get ready at that point. You have to be ready beforehand. When all is peaceful and quiet and normal and the sun is shining, that's the time to get ready. Because when the earthquake comes and the destruction comes, there's no time to get ready then. But Jesus is teaching these three stories as things for us to know. The last things he publicly teaches as things for us to know and to remember about his kingdom. So let's read the second story right now. Verse 14 of Matthew 25. For it is just like a man about to go on a journey who called his own slaves and entrusted his possessions to them. To the one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, each according to his own ability. And he went on his journey. Immediately, the one who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and gained 5 more talents. And in the same manner, the one who received the 2 talents gained 2 more. But the one who received the 1 talent went away and dug a hole in the ground, and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. Now, after a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. The one who had received 5 talents came up and brought 5 more talents, saying, Master, you entrusted 5 talents to me. See, I have gained 5 more talents. His master said, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. And the one who had received the 2 talents came up and said, Master, you entrusted 2 talents to me. See, I have gained 2 more talents. And his master said to him, well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. And the one who had received the 1 talent came up and said, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. And I was afraid and went away and hid your talent in the ground. See, you have what is yours. But the master answered him and said, you wicked, lazy slave. You knew that I reap where I did not sow and gathered where I scattered no seed. And you ought to have put your money in the bank, and on my arrival would have received my money back with interest. Therefore, take the talent away from him, and give it to the one who has the 10 talents. For everyone who has, more shall be given, and he will have an abundance. For the one who does not have, even what he does have, shall be taken away. Throw out the worthless slave into the outer darkness, in that place where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I asked Wes to read the story in Luke, or at least the beginning of that story, to say that this isn't the only time Jesus taught that kind of story. The story in Luke is taught at a different time, and it uses a slightly different description. But it's the same idea, and if you were paying attention to the beginning of the story in Luke, it had a similar purpose and a theme to the story of the 10 virgins. And the purpose is because he wanted to show to these people that the judgment was going to be a long time off. That this judgment was not happening soon. That you had to be ready whenever it came, but it wasn't going to be soon. Remember, the 10 virgins were waiting so long, that they all fell asleep. It's a long time to wait on the Lord. Well, it's been 2,000 years. I don't know if that's a long time in God's calendar or not. All we've got is our life to measure it by. So pay attention. Be ready. But in this case, this man has gone so long that he gives his servants care of his resources. Now, a talent is a weight of measure. It's a weight, not an amount of money. It is also, despite its name, it's not a personal ability. It just is the common word between what's given to us in Scripture, the idea of a talent, and what we would call a talent today, the ability to juggle or write stories or fix vehicles very quickly or well or play a musical instrument. We call those talents today, but that's not what we're talking about here. This is a reference to weight. And it's a significant weight. When applied to coins or solid a precious metal, it was a huge amount of money. Something in the order of, and it's very hard to convert first century money to 21st century money, because you got to consider the economy, you got to consider the average wages, you got to consider what things would buy, you've got to consider all kinds of stuff. So you get a variety here, but let's just say $20,000. It's a huge amount of money. He didn't give each guy a month's pay. He didn't give them a day's wages. He gave them a significant amount of money, more like a year's pay to a serious, well-paying job. A lot of money. So the man who received 5 talents is given a small fortune, is really given a significant value. Here, I'll be gone a long time. I'll be gone a long time. Here's part of mine. I'm going to give it to you. The other man got 2, and of course, the third man gets 1. So what is this thing called talents? What is this thing called talents? Well, mostly we teach this story talking about it being still being personal gifts, being abilities. Let's look at Romans 12 and 1 Peter and see some of the description of the gifts, abilities that God gives to Christians. Look at Romans 12, starting in verse 3. Romans 12, verse 3. For through the grace given me, I say to everyone among you not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so that you have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. For just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Since we have gifts, this is a description, since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, then according to the proportion of his faith. If service, in his serving. He who teaches, in his teaching. He who exhorts, in his exhortation. He who gives, with liberality. He who leads, with diligence. He who shows mercy, with cheerfulness. Let love be without hypocrisy. While you're thinking about that, turn to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 4. Excuse me. Starting in verse 10, 1 Peter 4:10. As each one has received a gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Whoever speaks is to do so as one who is speaking the utterances of God. Whoever serves is to do so as one who is serving by the strength which God supplies, so that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him belongs the glory and dominion forever. Amen. Now, part of this description of talents being talents, part of it makes sense. Note that back in Matthew 25, when he gave out the five talents, when he gave out the two talents, when he gave out the one talent, he did it to each one of his servants, quote, according to his own ability. One of the significant things about this is that whatever this is referring to, whatever this means, it is according to each of our abilities. God is not asking more of anyone than he has. He's not asking anybody to do anything more than he's capable of doing. You are fully capable of doing everything God places in front of you. Everything God has you do, he gives you the skills, the opportunity, the means, the time to do it. So in that sense, it becomes a little mixed, but it does make sense that in the way that this is a personal skill or a personal ability, and some have more connecting skills than others. But also note what Romans and Peter were telling us, is that each one has an ability. There are no Christians who don't have gifts, talents to use for God. Nobody. I mean, we got into some interesting things here in the list. For example, leadership, serving. And in verse 8 of Romans 12, how about the gift, the talent of mercy? That's interesting. That some people here have a talent of mercy. Well, you think about it. If you were hurting or having a hard time or had really done something egregious, are there people here that are easier to go up and talk to about that than others? Are there people who will listen and carefully and graciously deliver back to you something encouraging, something directive to help strengthen you? Some folks are a little too blunt to do that. What do you do that for? That was a boneheaded thing to do. Yeah, there are some people who have the gift of mercy. It's an interesting teaching. But this is something precious. This is a great deal of value that's given to each one of these people. So I think it's more than just the giving of skills. I think it's the giving of skills with opportunity. Look at Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4, verse 5. Colossians 4. This instruction is given to every Christian in the church. Conduct yourselves with wisdom toward outsiders, making the most of the opportunity. Let your speech always be with grace, as though seasoned with salt, so that you will know how you should respond to each person. The reason I go with a scripture like this is because note what happened with each one of the slaves. When the master came back, the guy didn't say, "Hey, I used your talents and got a lot of attention on myself." He said, "I put your talents to work. I put them out there, and I've got five more. I put them out there, and I've got two more." It's not just the skills and the abilities we have. It's the engagement of them in God's work. God gives each of us opportunities. God gives each of us moments in our days and our weeks to make sure, to use His Word, to use His love, to use His mercy, if you want to talk about it, to show other people Christ. You be careful on how you conduct yourself toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your speech, it means you're talking to folks about Christ, let your speech always be with grace, as though seasoned with salt, so that you will know how you should respond to each person. This is why one of the things that we like to teach here is to give people confidence. We should have confidence in our God. We should have confidence in our Christ. We should have confidence in the teaching of God's Word. We should have confidence in our Creator, our God as Creator. We should have confidence in the truth of God's Word. We should be confident people, confident in doctrines, confident in our lives, confident in the application of love in our relationships. We shouldn't be shrinking back and tiptoeing through life. God has given us incredible riches. And the way to multiply that is by putting them out there, connecting them with people. That way, when He returns, we say, out of the opportunities you gave me, my opportunities multiplied, and more people were interconnected with more people. I get to hear encouraging stories like this all the time, and I don't have time to tell it. But you know those types of stories where one person is connected to another person who's connected to another person, and down the line, three or four people come to the Lord because of those connections. Or a marriage is saved. Or two families patch up a misunderstanding. Or whatever it is, you have multiplied the power and effectiveness. There are some places, there are some quiet little communities where there aren't a lot of different opportunities. Maybe that's a one talent situation. But maybe there's a congregation out there that's like right out on the highway, that's in the fastest growing area of the state, where they're growing so fast they're going to need a new church building. And that people work in towns scattered in every direction. And every day we meet hundreds and thousands of people multiplied across our lives. Maybe there's a five-talent place in which we really need to be engaging ourselves in the precious treasure that Christ has given to us. The man who used his talents and used the opportunities for the Lord's sake, his master came back and said, "Here, I've doubled it." Not doubled my own skills. Doubled the preciousness and the value of your wealth, which means grew His kingdom. Well done, good and faithful servant, slave. Enter into the joy of your master. We also note that when you do well with what's given you, you're given more. More preciousness, more opportunities. More joy, the joy of your master, with five, with two. Like the five foolish virgins, the end of the story is a tough one. I was afraid I don't know. I just was afraid. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know how. You wicked and lazy slave. Sitting on the opportunities God calls lazy. Sitting on our skills and not using things as He's blessed us. I'm sure that applies to us as a congregation. But this story is about us as individuals. You wicked, lazy slave. You knew that I reap where I did not sow and gathered where I scattered no seed. And we know we're talking about a powerful God. You ought to have put my money in the bank. You ought to have done something with it. Connected to somebody else's use. Take the talent away from him. Everyone who has more shall be given. He will have an abundance. But he who does not have, even what he does have, shall be taken away. Throw out the worthless slave into the outer darkness in a place where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. These are the last three parables that Jesus teaches in a public setting. His disciples have asked the question, show us, teach us. And Jesus teaches these parables. We're going to wrap up with 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. We have such a precious gift. Let's encourage one another to be courageous, to be working, that the description of the returning master could never be applied, you wicked and lazy slave. First Thessalonians chapter 2, starting in verse 9. For you recall, brethren, our labor and hardship, how working night and day, so as not to be a burden to any of you, we proclaim to you the gospel of God. You are witness, and so is God, how devoutly and uprightly and blamelessly we behave toward you believers. Just as you know how we were exhorting and encouraging and imploring each of you as a father would his own children, so that you would walk in a manner worthy of the God who calls you into his kingdom and glory. For this reason, we also constantly thank God that when you received the word which you heard from us, you accepted it, not as the word of men, but for what it really is, the word of God, which also performs its work in you who believe. For you, brethren, became imitators of the churches of God in Christ Jesus that are in Judea. For you also endured the same suffering at the hands of my own countrymen, even as they did from the Jews. That's an application of this parable. Men taking the opportunity, applying the word of God to people's lives, the response and multiplying of the opportunity as many come to Christ. And Paul writes in the first chapter of 1 Thessalonians, we give thanks to God always for all of you, making mention of you in our prayers, verse 2 of chapter 1, constantly bearing in mind your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the presence of our God and Father. These are Jesus' teachings. These parables are Jesus' teachings to us about his kingdom. He wants us to be ready. He wants us to apply and use the opportunities he gives us. We get in Thessalonians a vision of a church doing just that. Let's continue to grow in the Lord and use the opportunities, making the most of every opportunity for those around us. If there's any here today who have not been baptized into Christ, we don't want today to go by without that being a useful opportunity for you, that you make the most of today for the Lord's sake, and you're baptized into him. If you have any other need that we can help you with, don't let the opportunity of that to slide by. that we can help you and encourage you or pray for you in any struggle or in any difficulty. Please come forward and let us know while we stand and sing.